Well, the Tausch continues with Tausch live from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament, which is about to tee off at Trapper's Turn in the Dells. And the guy that I see Tausch with now, he looks vaguely familiar to me. I see him every time I turn on my cable box. I see him alongside Gary Ellerson and Dennis Krause. He's some sort of commentator.
He loves, I'll tell you what, there's nothing more. He loves to rattle Krause. Isn't it fun to rattle Dennis Krause?
Yes, it is.
You know, he's so serious, yes. But he's got a fun sense of humor, but you got to kind of jab him a little bit.
By the way, he's also a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is Leroy Butler on Wildy and Tausch.
You know, Wildy and Tausch is my favorite show. This called Wildy too?
He sometimes is.
Okay.
Here, yeah,
We all know Spoon was your favorite beat writer.
My favorite. He wasn't my favorite.
Oh, really?
Who was your favorite?
Yeah, Pete Doherty is my favorite.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, that's an upset.
Yes.
Does Spoon know that? Because you've been doing a lot of stuff with Spoon for 20 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because Pete Doherty is the one putting me in the Hall of Fame.
That's also true.
Yes.
That should trump. Yes. I think Spoon probably understands that then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been friends with those guys for the whole Lee Rimmel is the reason why I'm
even
here.
You got an impression, right?
Because he told me two things can be true. That was one of my favorite sayings. You can be friendly with the media, but you can also be honest and interview with them. So, yeah, I don't mind telling people that I have friends that are in the media. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Because when I did something bad, which was rare in my head, I expected you to give your opinion. And I wasn't upset about it.
Was there ever a time that there was some stuff that...
Absolutely.
What was the one time it's like, blank these guys when I'm talking to the media?
It was two times. We lost to the Colts. They were they hadn't won a game, and we were very good. Paul Justin is the quarterback, and they beat us in Indianapolis, seemed like 100-0. And after, you know, the game, I was in there waiting to talk to the press. Marvin Harrison had a career day. And I remember getting questions from these guys. I'm like, y'all do know that I'm a safety, right? Could they ask me about Marvin Harrison? Why couldn't you cover him? And I got a little frustrated. But I remember Lee Rimmel also saying, never talk about your teammates or, you know, talk about yourself.
Only positive.
And I said, I had a terrible game. It's my job to get my secondary up to play. And the other one was when Sloan, a tight end from Detroit, he caught a seam route, and we were in cover two, the coverage I hate the most. And he just ran away from me. I mean, like, ran away from me.
Oh, and then they started calling you washed.
Oh, yeah.
Jason, I know Jason did.
You know what I said? Hey. I agree with y'all on that play. I said, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. That was terrible. I mean, it's something that I'm, you know, make sure it never happens again. And everybody in the media was shocked. That I agreed that I was terrible on that play. I didn't take it personal, is what I'm saying.
There you go, Jason.
Well, we need more Leroy Butlers, that's for sure, these days. That's definitely not the approach.
Well, we also didn't have social media, too.
So that's also true. I will say this. My favorite thing about Leroy Butler, though, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but we would talk to you at 12:50 every Wednesday.
Yes.
We would go to your locker. Sometimes he was a man ahead of his time. He would wear hats of his various advertising partners.
Yes, take 100%. Care of those partners.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But my favorite times were when he would tell us, Fritz has got to get me more involved. I got to blitz more. But he had already seen the game plan for that week. He knew that it was already in there. And he would make it seem like he had influenced the gameplay, but in reality, he already knew what was going to be happening.
Leroy was an influencer before social media.
It's called the Cliff Notes. Because I think it's very important to say, and it was something that I'm actually covering with Gannon, the new coordinator, when he came from the Cardinals, as he'll be doing. And remember, Jason, Fritz came from the Cardinals. He had his own scheme. He comes in there, and I'm like, oh, my. What's schemes he gonna run, because we was used to this Ray Rhodes stuff. Mm-hmm. And he comes in and he was basically was like, whatever you're good at, that's what we're gonna implement. You know, we got to figure out what you're good at. So that first year and a half, he had to learn his players, and I'm going to do something. Hopefully I can talk to Gannon, but the Packers don't make guys available to talk to very much. So I don't know how
you're listening to the show. You haven't talked to Gannon yet.
No, because okay. I need him to finish this article, because when Fritz came in, you know, he got some good players. He had a few great ones. But we're going to run 4-3-3-4, and he just kind of looked like whatever works. But first, he said something that was brilliant to me. He says, I need to do a deep dive of the North, or what was called the Central back then. Mm-hmm. The
Tampa.
NFC Central.
Because
I want to know what they're running. Once it, you know, we'll circle back in the offseason. Then we came up with basically, we got Sean Jones, Gilbert Brown, and Santana Dodson. So we're going to run a 4-3 principle. But we're going to have other sub-packages. And that was just amazing, that transition into the top defense. Because basically Micah Parsons will be like a Reggie White type. Because Reggie always lined up to the defensive left. And he didn't care who knew it. Mm-hmm. But we would run other games off of that. Yep.
So Fritz would look at it, understanding what the protection scheme was going to be.
Yes.
And that, and when Santana and everybody else could – really lean on that, and then they get one-on-one, and that's what it was. We called it the Micah effect last year. Obviously, Reggie had the same effect.
Yes, because Fritz was brilliant because he was like a therapist. This week is not your week. He would say that to players. When we went to San Francisco, guys, the only way we're going to beat them is Sean Jones, you're going to come off the field. Keith McKenzie, you're going to be implemented. You're going to go after the quarterback. Sean, you may not only play but 15 plays. And you got to be okay with this for us to win a Super Bowl. So you have
How much of that went to you as the leader, you and Reggie as the leaders on that defense? Yeah. Because I'm sure Sean ain't happy about that.
No.
So because you have a conversation with him?
Absolutely. Because once they explain to us, see, here's the thing that I tell this to my kids too. I don't want to be in a band. A band, matter of fact, I'm still mad about Journey when they broke up. Bands break up. We want to be like an orchestra, to where everybody sounds the same. Some guy's over there with the little triangle, and he goes ding, 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 and he'll sit there for 20 minutes to do it again. He gets a Super Bowl ring too. Mm-hmm. So you have to buy into that. And that's why we were so good. 1 week we were 3-4, 4-3, but we knew the principle of the only way we're going to win a Super Bowl, if I get all of these personalities to be unselfish. And that's how we won.
And who was there anybody that was a real challenge? You don't have to name names.
Absolutely.
Who was?
Well, Wayne Simmons was, because Wayne's a physical guy. He wants to play an under defense. That's where you got four linemen, because there may be some Viking fans listening. You have four defensive linemen, and he's on the line of scrimmage over the tight end. But we were like, this week, we don't want to do that, because every time you go to that side, they know that's the strong side. We want to play you in a stack, so you're behind Reggie. He didn't like that. So we had to go to him and explain to him, next week, we're playing the Cowboys and you're playing Jay Novacek. You get a chance to be all the physical player you want. He bought in. It makes sense. We got 16 games. All 16 is not going to be around me. We had other guys, and there were some games, as I just talked about, I don't like playing cover two. But we're playing Randy Moss, Jake Reed, and Chris Carter. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to be deep. And I got to buy into that. And I did. And that's the reason why we won.
So you did that. But then there was also you, Jason mentioned it, you wanted to be around it. Just remember watching those teams, you around the box, being down, blitzing and doing the things. That's what made you a Hall of Famer. How much of that conversation did you have to have with your coordinators to say, you need to utilize me this way more and not be selfish about it?
Yes, and that's a good question, because the transition was, you know how coaches say, my office is always open. I like to put that to a test. I remember going up to see Bob Harlan. They were saying, well, my door is always open. Come see me. And I went up to see Bob Harlan, who's the GOAT, rest in peace. I said, you know what? I like to do something a little different. He said, well, go tell him. I said, great. So I go down there, and Fritz is, he had these glasses that inside they're clear, outside they're dark. These glasses. Mm-hmm. And he had them at the bottom of his nose. He said, oh boy, what's going on? I said, well, we're playing, you know, this particular team. He said, what team is it? I said, but I'd rather be in the box so I can do eight-man fronts. He said, well, I don't think it fit because we don't want to be so much one-on-one on the inside. I said, I'm just telling you what I would like to do. Okay, I go down. It's Jason's fault, by the way. I go down and talk to the media. I think we should play me in the box more, and we'll stop this team. And Holmgren turns green. Can I see him for a minute? Out of my defensive back meeting. I said, what's up, coach? He said, you can't just say it like that. Say it like this. So he told me how to say it. I said, how do I say it? Just say you want to be involved. I said, okay. All right. It's almost like taking the keys away from a 16-year-old. After you give him the keys to the car for the prom, no, you're taking an Uber.
Take a bus.
I want to drive the car. No. So they taught me communication skills, how to be a good teammate first. That's first. And then whatever the game plan is, I'm talented enough to make it work. And I think that's what Gannon got to get the guys to buy into. I don't care what I give you that week. It may not be for you. But the next week can be all about you. Like a Van Ness, this week you're going to play inside on third down. And you got to be okay with it. You can't say, well, I don't think that I'm a good player. You're a good player wherever they put you. If not, maybe we're talking to the wrong guy. Because they'll flip it on you. I thought you was just a great player. That, well, I am. Well, not in just one system. Okay, you're right. Because there's no coach. I mean, there's no player that's smarter than a coach. There's no student smarter than a teacher.
There's a lot of players that think they're smarter than coaches.
Yes, because when we're driving down the street at 1265 at 11 o'clock at night, I say, why are those lights on? That's the coaches. I say, well, aren't they home with their families? No, they're getting the game plan together. After that, I respect my coach and my teachers. I love teachers.
Leroy, I know you love Ron Wolf, even though he didn't draft you. He knew what a great player he was getting when he came on board. I am curious. I don't want to say I ticked him off because he's become a great friend, and I love it when I get to talk to him. But I did ask him back when the Packers acquired Micah Parsons if there were any sort of similarities to getting Reggie. And, of course, he told me I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. So, which he's not the first. But it's hard not to view him as potentially, if not Reggie-esque. When you look at Parsons and what he did last season and having played and been so close to Reggie, how do you see that dynamic through your eyes?
I think you're spot on because of impact. See, the thing about the media, you can ask a good question, but you got to have a follow-up.
Oh, that's not what Jason does.
Yeah, you got to follow up.
He's not a follow-up guy.
Because you can tell when you ask a good question because they don't give you eye contact. They'll just pivot to something else. But to follow up, well, did he have the same impact as Reggie? And I would say yes. Here's why. Coming from Dallas, it was unprecedented that guys would get traded in their same division, like the NFC from Dallas. You don't see that very much. This past year, you saw it a lot. But with Reggie, was the first free agent ever to sue the league to be a free agent. In a big market, he's supposed to go to San Francisco. Guess what? He came to the smallest market. And the impact of when he walked through that door was, I got to elevate my game. Everybody said that. Same thing with Micah Parsons. When he came through there, when they were 9-3-1, you even saw Rashard Gary and some of these other guys playing at a high level. And when he goes out, the production went down.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing is, that proves Jason's point. Yes, That's the impact of Michael Parsons. I don't think there's nothing wrong saying that. That's the reason why you gave him the amount of money and not having a first-round pick.
Picks, yep.
You got to bring in impactful players like that to get to a Super Bowl. So I was there when Reggie came through that door, and I know what it felt like. And I was going to the Packer Hall of Fame, and shout out to Earl Dotson, who's here.
Absolutely.
And Tremont. But we did what? Well, wait a minute. The fan base and social media say the Packers never do stuff like this to give a this kind of guarantee and get this particular players. Yes, they do. And that was the impact of the same thing with Reggie White. If we didn't get Reggie White, we didn't think we can. It was three teams in the 90s dominated: Dallas, San Francisco, and Green Bay. And Dallas and San Francisco had things over us. They had, in fact, impactful players. We had to get Reggie White. And that's the same thing with Michael Parsons. And I would even go so further. I mean, go further with that, Jason, to say, without him, I just don't understand how the defense, what direction you'll go in. Because this guy was tremendous. And he is something that you want to be around. You want him in your locker room. Mm-hmm. That's an investment that I can't wait till it starts to just pay off. I'm a big fan of number one.
And he plays hard. He's everything that you're – I still don't understand why Dallas got rid of him. I don't understand why the Giants got rid of Xavier McKinney. And Ben Johnson said this is the best safety tandem in the league, that what Green Bay has. You obviously with Eugene and different guys you played with. What makes these guys so good?
Evan Williams, full disclosure, that's my nephew. I love him. You got to just know what you're good at. Before Eugene Robinson, I was an average safety. Bring in Eugene, who has the best hands in the league, my hands are terrible. Matter of fact, I remember my teacher, I'm a special ed student. My teacher used to throw me Nerf footballs in the hallway, and I dropped 10 out of 10. You know what she told me? You're going to be on defense. Yeah, you're going to be on defense. So I was not good at interceptions. So Xavier wants to get back to when he led the league at interception. Evan Williams, he's their guy that can put in the box and rotate. Matter of fact, Bull, they kind of move them more to in the slot now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have like a three safety deal to stop the run. Because if you think about when they played the Ravens.
Ugh, tough night.
I mean, getting somebody 300 yards rushing on you. Just
first time in history, biggest rushing attack ever at Lambeau was that night.
And your safeties have to, I would even argue, yes, I'm biased, but I would even argue that safety is one of the most important positions. It's the only position that you don't have anybody behind you. You know what you have behind you as safety? You own Sports Center. Mm. Mm-hmm. Somebody ran past you, it's a touchdown, or it's a long pass, it's a touchdown. So it's a defense that you got to have your safeties on board. But now that does put pressure on the corners. And, yes, I'm a big K-9 fan, Keon Nixon, but after that, well, let's take it back. Thank you to the Chicago Bears for trading DJ Moore to Buffalo. Thank you. Because that guy has given me PTSD. When you're up 21-3, 16-6, and you know they got to throw the ball, and they're getting explosion plays, that can be something that can be an issue. 100%.
Talking with Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler on the in-person Yuengling Legends line. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, has now come to Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. All right, Roy Lee, I got two more for you.
Okay.
Tausch has talked about this. We talked with your nephew there, Unc, with Evan Williams about this as well a couple weeks ago. Tausch wants to see the Packers side. Tausch, tell me if I'm misquoting you. He wants to see a little more intensity in the Packers-Bears rivalry from the Packers side.
Leroy, I remember
the idea
of having Fuzzy Thurston come in and talk, and when we would be playing the importance of that rivalry. And I understand with the Rodgers and Favre era, we dominated the Chicago Bears. Those days are over. And there is an intensity gap, I believe, last year, because I think people are – because Matt LaFleur hadn't lost. I know we lost that meaningless game at the end of 2 years ago.
Yes.
But it almost felt like it was a rite of passage for – well, we're the Packers, we're better. The Bears took that personally, and their intensity was up. I'm saying this year, I'd like to see that intensity level where we're there, and we now recognize, because the Bears won the division – I'd like to see our players really embrace this part and our coaching staff embrace this rivalry again. Tell me why I'm crazy.
This is why you're one of my favorite Packers. You've tapped into something that I've said. And if you notice, when you go back to y'all millions of fans, when they listen to this, I've sprinkled in a lot of Bear
sayings. I did notice that.
That's the team. It used to be Detroit. Up until a couple of years ago.
It's always Minnesota, yeah.
So it was always, you know what I'm saying, with the coach, the new Detroit coach.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The last 2 years because they was beating us. It's pivot now to the Bears, mm-hmm. and you're right. Because that game, ever since Ben Johnson got there, it seemed like they're playing for keeps and we're playing for a promise. Ben Johnson don't care. He's not trying to be your friend. He's not trying to shake your hand. He's not mm-hmm. trying to follow the rules. And yes, he'll go for it. Yes, he'll do stuff to demoralize you. Because they're thinking, this is the youngest team in the league. How can I put pressure on them? Okay, we're just going to sell out and just blitz everybody. We don't care what happened. Ben Johnson is one of these guys that, you know, you're supposed to, back in the day, you get your gun and you take 10 steps. You're taking 10. He takes 6 and turn around and shoot you. To him, he just wants you to know that, he wants you to just keep looking behind your back. I'm going to keep looking to see. We got to change that. We got to change that. Because the playoff game was something that was, I'm dead serious. I have anxiety already. It gave me more anxiety when we were up 21-3 at halftime. Because your kicker was not on the team anymore. I said, well, he got to make this because I'm doing sooner or later I'm thinking they're going to make a run. Mm-hmm. But. That was the most disappointing loss in Matt LaFleur's tenure to me because it was the Bears. Because mm-hmm. you're right, ever since you go all the way back to when Roger said he owned you. And
Bears fans are like, what am I going to say back? He does.
Right. And then, and I know Drake's album just came out, but the Iceman was their young quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was clutch. Mm-hmm. He was – and then that, and one thing, Jason, I'll tell you this, because I know some people that work there, they don't think anybody in 1265 that can cover number 84, their tight end, Loveland, mm-hmm. they can't cover him. So, yeah, we'll get rid of DJ Moore. No one can cover this guy. He's a big, tall tight end. Nobody can cover him. We're going to run the ball. So how do you change that? Maybe introducing these guys to the rivalry all over again. Now, he did say he was going to do, allegedly, Jason, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Matt say he was going to do a hard reset with the offense or mm-hmm. something like that?
Take mm-hmm. it bound to the studs.
Year one.
So now you can do a reset and talk about it a little bit more. See, I want Alumni Weekend to be October 11th, the Bears mm-hmm. at home.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Normally we would do it
early
the first.
Early in September, yep.
Home game, which is a Thursday, by the way. I want it to be October 11th. You get all the alumni in there. It's mm-hmm. Bears week, and it's a lot.
It's a great idea.
So you do think Matt LaFleur needs to lean into the intensity.
Yes.
Okay, I agree with
yes.
you.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yes. Don't do 10 steps anymore. Do one step and shoot. Because when you turn around, Ben Johnson standing there like, I knew you was going to do it. Because that's the reason why when they did all the owners' meetings, you didn't see him with
the
other coaches smoking cigars. He wasn't like, he wasn't doing that because that's how he got the job. He went in there intense. I'm going to beat Green Bay. Here's how I'm going to do it. They're a young team. I want to put my foot on the throat and do these wild things. But now the Green Bay Packers had to say, you know what? I'm not the smartest guy in the room anymore. I'm going to just dominate this team for four quarters. Now, they get paid, too. Mm-hmm. But you got a lot of things that's better than them, and you got to execute it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Leroy, we got to let you go. But I want to ask you this before we do. You know, I was a young guy covering the team in 96. You were so good to me. I've enjoyed our relationship. But I was just so happy when you went into the hall because you, like our friend Jerry Kramer, had waited way too long. And so I'm wondering, I've got my copy of the Leroy Butler story. It's signed.
God. He's got a documentary coming
signed.
Out too, Jay.
So I got that. Every time I go into Pick and Save, I see the cartoon version of you in your gold jacket. I hear your voice. I'm just wondering, how has going into Canton changed your life? Because you don't seem to have changed as a guy.
Yeah.
But in terms of what that has meant to you and how things have maybe changed since that happened, because Lord knows it was well-deserved, and thank God Pete got you in. But what has it meant to you?
It's meant a lot only because of where I came from. And I'll make this really quick. Special needs kid, growing up in the projects, got bullied your whole life, you know, wearing hand-me-downs. My mom raised five kids by herself. And I was a special ed kid. I was dyslexia. They thought I was colorblind. But they said for whatever reason, every day he comes with a smile on his face. And I remember there people at church asking my mom, why does he smile so much? Oh, he just know how his life is going to end because he's going to play in the NFL. We're not going to be poor anymore. And he's going to be this famous football player. I always believed that. And God is good. And that's why Tausch mentioned that I'm working on my documentary that will be ready at the top of 27. And it tells the story about the journey from the projects to the Hall of Fame. It's only like 382 guys in the Hall of Fame. But I live in Wisconsin because I love the people in Wisconsin. But I also love people like Tauscher who stays here. And just, this is a great community because people, when I go do things, they say, wait a minute, you don't live in L.A., Florida, New York? No. I live in Wisconsin because this is where it all is. And the last two people I'll mention, without them, there is no Leroy Butler. My teachers, of course, I love all teachers, but Bob Harlan was special to me. And mm-hmm. when you see the part about him in my documentary, he was an amazing young man. If it wasn't for him and Lee Rimmel, that there's no way I could have survived coming here. I mean, you go from extreme poverty to a $1 million check. I said, Bob, what do I do with this thing? Put it in the bank. He told me something last thing. He said, I remember you telling me something. I said, what's that, Bob? You want to be rich when you're old, not when you're young. Do that. Mm-hmm. So I want to be rich in the future, not when you were young. So thank you so much. Will Dentosh, one of my favorite shows. There's a drop for you.
Yeah, we'll drop that for sure.
Best show. Yeah.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much, Leroy.
Thank you so much. I'll come back and promote the documentary soon.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, we look forward to that.
Thank you so much.
Is Tausch interviewed for it? I feel like he needs a cameo in there.
I do have a great Leroy story. I'll tell that on the.
We may have you do some voiceover work because I think he's the next play-by-play guy when Rock leaves. I already said
Ooh,
that.
You're
me and his
something.
Wife got this plan. He should be in the play-by-play booth, and not for Wisconsin. I'm saying for the Packers when Rock leaves.
As long as he doesn't quit the radio show.
He can do both.
I need this job.
He can do both.
Jason's trying to get Dorsey, Levens. He wants Dorsey. That's his favorite Packer.
See, you got to know what you're good at. Dorsey should just be on video and not speak because he's so good.
He's a good-looking guy.
Great actor.
As soon as he speaks,
he's on Broadway.
As soon as he speaks and starts laughing and stuff, then he says, I don't want to do that. So. But you're a play-by-play guy.
Oh, so you're
guy.
Telling Dorsey, just look good, don't talk.
Don't say nothing.
Wow.
We go with Dorsey to get in the club
That's
for
why
free.
He didn't want to join us. So we had...
We get in the club for free. Just Dorsey Levens.
Oh, my God.
You want to date girls? Always, follow Dorsey.
Always play to your strengths, man.
That's
always
right.
play to your strengths. No doubt.
I love you guys, man. Y'all stay up. God is good.
We appreciate you too, Leroy. You're the best.
Always a pleasure.